This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Marketplace has learned the Obama EPA may have made fracking seem safer than the science suggests. Our story about science, politics, and the energy industry in a few minutes. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. President-elect Donald Trump will be in Indiana today to, in part, claim victory in a deal with Carrier Corporation to keep about 1,000 jobs from going to Mexico. The president-elect had skewered Carrier on the campaign trail for its plan to move 2,000 jobs south of the border. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace has more.
A lot of Indiana's manufacturing jobs have already been replaced by lower-paying service and logistics work. Chris Benner, a professor at the University of California, Santa Cruz, says these 1,000 jobs are a big deal, but a deal that would be hard to replicate. It's a one-off.
Well, it's not really policy, is it?
Carrier's decision to keep some of the jobs in Indiana will come with state tax breaks, but United Steelworkers union leaders say they still haven't gotten details about whether it will also come with pay cuts and which jobs will be preserved. Mohan Tatikanda, a professor at the Kelly School of Business at Indiana University, agrees with Benner that it's a one-off, but he thinks other companies could feel the pressure of possible attention from the new administration.
Some will want to avoid the bully pulpit factor of President-elect Trump and President Trump possibly saying negative things about their company.
The flip side of that is it's possible businesses would threaten to move jobs as a negotiating tactic, hoping to get deals from state or federal government. I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, Carrier's parent company, United Technologies, has been doing what many corporations do these days, taking billions in profits to buy back its own shares, money that critics say could have been spent on maybe employees. Marketplace's Annie Baxter has more.
Stock buybacks are a way for companies to boost the value of their shares by having fewer of them out there. Investors benefit because their shares are then worth more. Charles Elson is a corporate governance expert at the University of Delaware.
Ultimately, the point of a business, for better or for worse, is to return the capital to those who invested it with some kind of a premium to it. Otherwise, why part with your money?
United Technologies said it would complete $16 billion in share buybacks by the end of next year. Southwestern Law School professor Michael Dorf says that's money United Technologies could be using to invest in its American workforce.
Stock buybacks use up resources that could go towards hiring workers at high good wages and good benefits instead of outsourcing them to people who will work for much less.
Dorf says even if the company's deal with President-elect Trump retains 1,000 jobs in Indiana, another 1,000 or so of its jobs still appear headed to Mexico. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Checking stocks, the FTSE in London is down 1.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down. The Dow future down 5 points.
Codebreaker is back with a brand new season. This time around, a new question. Can it save us? We are asking this simple question about a different kind of technology every single week. You can subscribe now on iTunes.
Oil is up to $50 a barrel right now. This after OPEC countries finally cried uncle in the face of tepid demand and competition from U.S. fracking and pledged to cut production by 1.2 million barrels a day. The price of oil collapsed almost 2.5 years ago, a boon to consumers and a curse for producers. Last year, the Environmental Protection Agency in Washington gave what was essentially a safety seal of approval for this process of hydraulic fracturing or fracking. But we have learned the EPA made last-minute changes to how the study was framed, downplaying risks. This story about possible manipulation of science was uncovered by my team at Marketplace and our colleagues at APM Reports. Scott Tong of Marketplace's Sustainability Desk is one of those reporters, and he joins us from Washington. Morning, Scott.
Good morning, David.
So what was this late-in-the-game EPA edit, and who did it benefit?
The very top-line conclusion of the press release is what changed on the last day. So up until that last day, the drafts that we obtained indicate the EPA was going to say they identified potential vulnerabilities, as in risk to polluting drinking water. And then on the day of the release, the top line was dramatically different. Quote, no widespread systemic impact. Big win for industry, which repeated that line and still does today. The news media, us, we did it too. And so into the divided echo chamber of fracking and fossil fuels went this notion that the government's own scientists think it's okay. Now, the question asked by many of the EPA scientists, currently and formerly, is did the research scientists actually write that line and then elevate it all the way to the top?
Let's step back here. If there was bending of science by the Obama administration, some people are using that term, with big economic and business implications, it would not be the first time.
Would not be new. Let me play you some tape from Michael Halpern of the Union of Concerned Scientists. He says this goes way back.
Nixon fired his science advisors for disagreeing with him about missile defense. Bill Clinton disregarded the scientific evidence on needle exchange programs. During the Bush administration, you had scientists at NASA threatened with dire consequences for sharing their research about climate change.
And then there was the Surgeon General in the George W. Bush years who said the administration tried to have him back off any discussion of stem cells. And at the FDA, a whistleblower said in 2004 that the agency took too long to withdraw Vioxx. That's the pain pill linked to heart attacks and strokes. He said 55,000 premature deaths could have been avoided.
Don't let science get in the way of a decent press release. But looking forward, we have a president-elect who is anti-regulation. Are there concerns that the new administration might choose politics over science?
We know in the past the president-elect has raised questions about climate change science being a hoax, about vaccines causing autism, and immigrants being a big source of a lot of infectious disease, all despite peer review evidence to the contrary. We also know he's been flexible on what he thinks. But a campaign advisor has already pledged that under the new administration, they're going to cut NASA funds for climate research. And there's concern that the FDA could lower standards for drug testing going forward. And an even bigger concern that some scientists mention is, you know, we now live in this kind of fact-free zone of public discourse where trust in evidence and trust in expertise is really low, which could be the broader question, whoever the president happens to be.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Click over to marketplace.org, O-R-G, to explore this story digitally. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.